The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July 2018 issue of AARP Magazine, also probably a little bit from the August 2018 edition of Money Magazine, and we'll just see where that gets us. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. Now I'm going to start with this with an article called "The High Cost of Cancer Treatment" by Peter Moore. Again, this is from AARP Magazine for June-July 2018, and the author Peter Moore is the former editor of Men's Health and a freelance writer who lives in Fort Collins, Colorado. The High Cost of Cancer Treatment. Avoiding financial disaster can add stress to patients' battle against the disease. Expenses from cancer treatment, including those for imaging and scans, can quickly overwhelm patients and families. If you are diagnosed with cancer, which experts should you see first? 1. A medical specialist. 2. A money manager. Surprisingly, option 2 might give you the best hope for surviving the disease with your health and your wealth intact. Not only are cancer patients 2.5 times as likely to declare bankruptcy as healthy people, but those patients who go bankrupt are 80% more likely to die from the disease than other cancer patients, according to studies from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle. For many patients, when they get the bills, it can be as bad as some of the side effects of the disease or the treatment, says the center's Gary Lyman, MD. What makes cancer such a financial killer? Average costs for treatment run in the $150,000 range. The reasons aren't mysterious. Cancers occur at the cellular level with abnormal cells dividing and spreading, containing the cancer and killing those abnormal cells without damaging nearby healthy cells, often requires a range of treatments over an extended period of time. Lengthy radiation, complicated surgeries, costly chemotherapy, plus other strong medications to supercharge your immunity. New cancer treatments emerge routinely, but with new hope comes even more cost. 11 of the 12 cancer drugs that the Food and Drug Administration approved in 2012 were priced at more than $100,000 per year. Compare that with, say, treating heart disease. Cardio procedures and medicines are well established, and a big part of the solution is lifestyle changes. Eating well, exercising, and reducing stress. That's why treating a heart attack may cost around $39,000. Yes, insurance covers much of cancer's medical costs. With a good policy, a patient is probably looking at a bill of more than $4,000 in deductibles and copays in a year before costs are fully covered. Medicare patients will have lower deductibles but may still be on the hook for thousands in copays. The costs of treatment itself, though, are only part of the story. Cancer's untold toll. Cancer has tried twice to defeat Vijay Slight, and twice it has won financially. Now 63 and living in the Palm Springs, California area, Slight was diagnosed with breast cancer in her early 30s and again 8 years ago. Both times Slight had insurance, and she's pretty savvy about money, yet both times she went broke. The first time cancer struck in September 1987, Slight had just left a mortgage industry job and a boyfriend and had moved to Huntington Beach, away from most of her friends and family. Is there ever a convenient time for a deadly diagnosis? Not really, but this surely wasn't it. Back in the health insurance dark ages, companies could deny coverage of pre-existing conditions. So when Slight found a lump during a self-exam in the shower, she resisted seeing a doctor. A positive diagnosis would disqualify her from health insurance. She stayed mum, signed up for a private health plan, and then sweated out the 90-day waiting period for coverage to kick in. So her cancer got a head start on the three-decade war it has waged against her. Not long after Slight applied for her private insurance policy, she discovered that she was also eligible for a COBRA plan from her old job. Soon she was covered by two policies, so all her medical bills were taken care of. Even so, she had to scrimp and save to pay the premiums, and she went deeply into debt. Slight's story is a common one. If testing and treatments were the only costs associated with cancer, insurance could likely save patients from severe financial distress. But they also must grapple with loss of income during several months of treatment and recovery, plus any expenditures for travel and lodging at a cancer-centric health facility. And then there are the follow-up tests, which persist for years and are equally efficient at piling up copays and deductibles. I was self-employed as a realtor, Slight explains, and because of my treatment, I couldn't work full-time. Medical costs may have been covered, but she still had to pay the rent, the electric bill, her car expenses, racking up bills easily in the five figures. Because she'd had a job recently, she had the appearance of financial stability, which made getting benefits tricky. I couldn't get food stamps, she says. I couldn't get welfare. And that's what I've always felt. I'm not poor enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not sick enough. Eventually, Slight placed a newspaper ad to sell her furniture and anything else of value. She scraped together a few thousand dollars, moved into a studio apartment, and relied on handouts. $1,000 for car repairs from a friend. A monthly Mercy stipend from her parents. Free rent from a friend who would later sue her for non-payment. She maxed out 7 or 8 credit cards. Slight ended up undergoing surgery, though not the radical mastectomy that had been planned. Follow-up care included 3 chemo drugs administered by injection. The treatments went on for 9 months. I owed $30,000 at the end of it, she says. I was dead-ass broke. So I sent a form letter to all the people I owed money to. I'm going through cancer treatment. This is all I can send you. They got $5 or $10 a month, and it took me 7 years to pay that off. At least she was feeling well enough to resume working in the mortgage industry, which put her back into the black. It wasn't much of a life, but she took pride in meeting her obligations. Her scans were clean on her 5-year cancerversary, so she figured there was no way the disease would come back. Well, probably not. A toxic side of cancer treatment. Yusuf Zavar, M.D., doesn't remember who on his cancer research team at Duke University coined the term financial toxicity. With terrifying accuracy, it describes the dire health impact of the soaring costs of cancer treatment. Zafar only knows that once the team began using those words, they quickly spread through oncology circles. It was a diagnostic term whose time had come. My initial reaction was that cost is not my problem, Zafar admits. We hadn't focused on how the costs of cancer treatment were impacting patients' well-being and the quality of their care. Patients were afraid that if they discussed their financial fears with their doctors, it would compromise their treatment. But oblivious doctors wouldn't know that their patients might take their pills less often than prescribed. And those patients might choose to avoid follow-up therapies or tests. Why isn't this treatment working as well as it should, a physician might wonder. And the answer might be that the patient can't afford to follow it and is lying about compliance. If someone's home life or finances are in disarray, a cure may be delayed or impossible. To address that, insurance and healthcare company Kaiser Permanente has adopted a level of distress questionnaire to help caregivers explore 37 possible stressors for patients, including spiritual religious concerns and sexuality fertility. Appropriately, the first 8 items raise concerns such as housing, bills, employment, and other money issues. An oncology social worker like Dennis Heffern of Kaiser Permanente Franklin Medical Offices in Denver will ask as many times as necessary to get genuine answers from patients assigned to him. Heffern describes a typical interaction. The social worker says, "How can I help you?" And the patient usually says, Well, if you really want to help me, show me the money. People are thinking they're not going to let me in the front door unless I can pay. They're going to withhold my cancer treatment. And so the social worker, in a very patient-centered way, says, okay, let's look at resources. And there are resources available: prescription discounts, charitable grants, coverage for life and travel expenses, and a tangle of government programs. Sarah Kelly is a licensed clinical social worker for the support group Cancer Care, which fields 250 to 300 calls a day to its hotline in New York City. She cites two comments she often hears from patients: I don't want to bankrupt my family, and, heartbreakingly, I can't afford to live. An unfortunate kind of expertise. It's common for cancer patients to experience depression for years after they beat the disease. At one point, after her first bout with cancer, Slate contemplated suicide. I'm depressed, I'm fat, I'm broke, and I'm in my 30s, she recalls thinking. Not a great place to be. But she didn't act on her dark impulse, ultimately because she had started volunteer teaching in a program that helps people quit smoking, a habit she started at age 14. I thought, I have another class coming up. Who's going to help these people if I don't? She got a master's degree in health psychology and attended a smoking cessation training program at the Mayo Clinic. She pulled herself out of despair and into a solid consulting gig, presenting quit-smoking programs for corporate clients. So the destructive habit that nearly killed Slate ultimately saved her. The pieces of her life began to fit back together after she turned 40. Having stared death in the face, Slate asked herself, what is really going to make me happy in the time I have left? She came up with answers: a better job in the mortgage industry, a real estate portfolio to deliver rental income, helping people quit the cancer habit, travel. Her health woes had carried her past childbearing age, but she was okay with that. Life offered other rewards and surprises, too. With her medical team on the lookout for a recurrence, Slate lived through scanxiety, sweating out each round of scans and biopsies. It was expensive and uncomfortable, an inevitable part of the cancer survivor lifestyle. But by age 55, she had been through enough to feel a little superior to the doctors who prescribed the tests. So in August 2010, when a mammogram showed a shadow, Slate reacted in anger. I thought, son of a gun, you've got a new radiation guy, and he doesn't know what he's looking at. It's just a scar from my last cancer. But after 23 years, the cancer was back. Even so, Slate wasn't devastated. I'd been through this before. I knew the drill. This time, she opted for a double mastectomy and reconstructive surgery. I didn't want to go through cancer a third time, she explains. Her first cancer treatment cost about $40,000. 2 decades later, the bill was $120,000. Again, she was covered by insurance, but her copays and premiums added up to $25,000 at a time when she couldn't work. Not included in those costs: lost wages, travel to and from surgery, forfeited revenue from real estate investments she lost to foreclosure, and the incalculable human cost of more suffering. And all this happened to a woman with insurance and the financial savvy that comes with operating her own businesses. If Slate found herself in a hole, what chance do the rest of us have if a scan goes sideways? They don't know what they don't know. The staff at Seattle's Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center would rather focus on health than economics. Increasingly, though, those matters have become the same thing. Lyman says he's first and foremost an oncologist, but he has grown deeply concerned about the barriers and impact of cost on the patients with cancer and on the healthcare system. Unfortunately, he points out, he works in a growth industry. Virtually every one of us will be impacted individually or in our family or one of our close friends by cancer. And the growth industry label applies to the cost of treatment, too. Says Lyman, recent studies we've done have shown high rates of bankruptcy among patients with cancer, and this has escalated over the past decade as some of the exciting new agents that have come along have just skyrocketed. Indeed, despite the financial hurdles, most patients are not suddenly opting to forego costly treatments. If anything, it's quite the opposite. "There's something about the C word that's galvanizing," says Heffern, the social worker in Denver. They say, "Jimmy Carter got immunotherapy and it helped his malignant metastatic melanoma. Why can't I have that for my cancer?" One study noted that novel cancer therapy agents can cost more than $60,000 a month for treatment, and the average monthly cost per agent has more than doubled in the past decade to $10,000. Blood cancer patients, for instance, are treated regularly with an intravenous bag of a drug called Rituxan, which can cost up to $5,000. It's like dripping gold into a person's veins. And here's another problem. These expensive drugs and therapies tend to work, so people survive. "We're the victims of our own success," says Heffern. "People who beat cancer often face a whole new round of expenses if it returns, and the cost of treatment can double or triple from one diagnosis to the next." Enter the need for a medical financial advisor. But like a medical scan that's fuzzy or inconclusive, so is the picture of a patient's ability to pay for the most promising treatment. Sometimes having high income or life savings can be the last thing a person wants when the cancer diagnosis comes. At the time of her first cancer, Slate had a $5,000 CD, a sign of solvency that effectively blocked her access to many services she desperately needed. Dan Sherman launched a pilot program in financial navigation at Mercy Health St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that tweaked the health insurance plans for 675 patients. He made sure they were on supportive plans, signed up for government assistance, and tapped available drug cost abatement programs. His team reduced participants' financial responsibilities by almost $12 million and saved the hospital charitable outlays and bad debts by almost $7.5 million. There were also considerable savings on the human suffering side of the ledger. So aren't hospitals lining up to implement financial counseling programs with Sherman's Navectis group? "They're not," he says. "It's hard to convince hospitals that there is a void in this service. A lot of them already employ financial navigators, but their staff are undertrained for the job. The majority have a high school diploma," he notes, "and those individuals are cheap, right? But they don't know what they don't know." Lessons from the second time around. Vijay Slight had been down the hard road of cancer treatment before, so she chose a different path the second time around. "I played the cancer card this time," she says. Like a lot of other people in their 50s, she was stranded in a coverage gap, too young for Medicare, too affluent for Medicaid. So she stopped paying her bills. She defaulted on her real estate holdings. She cut back in every way possible. She drove her old car into the ground. No trips to the hairdresser, no travel, no new clothes. She also decided to max out on personal support. That's how she found her way to Gilda's Club in Cathedral City, California. The organization was named for former Saturday Night Live star Gilda Radner, who died from ovarian cancer in 1989. Founded in 1995, the club provides a community of people who accept the rage, the depression, and the day-to-day hopes of cancer patients. "I had so many poignant moments with people at the end of their lives," Slight says. "I felt so privileged." Slight is 7 years out from her most recent financial crash and notes that her credit report will soon be clean. She can see financial daylight ahead. She lives with mountain views all around, in a house filled with mementos of her travels to 6 continents and 30 countries between bouts of cancer. She has a roster of friends made while battling disease, and her double mastectomy means that she is likely done with breast cancer. She refused chemo the second time around, partly for financial reasons, but that decision resonated with her emotionally and philosophically as well. Through it all, you do a lot of thinking about the meaning of life and death, asks a question about her case. Slight leaves the room for a moment and returns with a thick binder containing every medical image, every blood test, every diagnostic report from her long, difficult history as a patient. She's the Leo Tolstoy of medical records. I've learned that you have to be super organized. You have to be your own advocate, she says. She pats her thick medical scrapbook. Doctors see this, and they respect me. And now, from the August 2018 edition of Money Magazine, here's a little article called The Best 10 Senior Discounts in America. Earmark these now, savvy readers say. This is by Elizabeth O'Brien. Word has it that early bird specials are going the way of VHS tapes and flip phones, but plenty of deals remain for folks who were alive during the Johnson administration. When Money asked readers of its Retire with Money newsletter to recommend the best senior discounts available today, the answers flooded in. We've rounded up 10 choice ones that anyone over 55, or in some cases 50, should know about. Keep in mind, though, that the senior discount might not always be the best deal available, says Edgar Dvorsky, founder and editor of Consumer World. Treat it as one possible option, he says. For those who want to get their deals on the go, the AARP Now mobile app notifies you when you're in the vicinity of any benefits and discounts that you program into the app. Also check with your local municipality to see what kinds of discounts might be available on public transportation, parking, property taxes, and other expenses, says Dvorsky, who takes advantage of several such deals in his city of Somerville, Massachusetts. Amtrak. Travelers 65 and older can get 10% off most rail fares on most Amtrak trains. Kathy Levine, 70, of Long Beach, New York, uses the discount frequently to visit her daughter and granddaughter 200 miles away. I prefer not to drive the 4 hours it takes, says Levine. The Amtrak discount allows me to see them more often. British Airways. AARP members 55 and over are eligible to receive $65 off economy travel and $200 off business club travel. Trips must be booked by January 31, 2019. Kohl's. Shoppers ages 60 and up can receive 15% off every Wednesday. Marriott. Travelers 62 and older can save 15% or more on their room rate at Marriott brand hotels. While the rate is subject to availability, there's no limit on the number of nights you can book. The deal applies to the Marriott brand worldwide. National Parks. U.S. citizens or permanent residents 62 and older can access more than 84 million acres of land protected by the National Park Service for the rest of their lives for $80. While this isn't quite the bargain it used to be, prices were raised from just $10 last year. It's still better than the general $80 annual pass rate, says Warren Gress, 67, of Parker, Colorado, who has visited Glacier National Park, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, and Zion, among others. Plus, Gress notes, the pass gets you discounted site fees if you're staying in a federal campground. T-Mobile. Customers 55 and up can get 2 lines with unlimited talk, text, and LTE data for $35 per line with autopay. This is the best sell discount available right now, says Dvorsky of Consumer World. Only the primary account holder has to be 55 or older. Uno Pizzeria and Grill. Customers age 55 plus can get deep discounts on deep dish pizza and other menu items at this restaurant chain. Eligible customers can join the Double Nickel Club on the company's website and get a generous 30% off their bill every Wednesday. Bloomin' Brands. AARP members receive 10% off meals every day at Bloomin' Brands restaurants such as Bonefish Grill, Outback Steakhouse, and Carrabba's Italian Grill. Walgreens. Shoppers 55 and older, plus all AARP members, receive 20% off all eligible purchases on the first Tuesday of every month. This is one of the more generous retail deals around, says Lindy Sacreda, Director of Content Marketing at Deal News. You can plan around it, she says. Alamo Draft House. Moviegoers who are 60 and older can view weekday shows before 2 p.m. for only $6, less than half the general admission price of $13.75. That special low pricing applies all day on Wednesdays for the chain's senior day. And now also for Money Magazine, we've got time for at least part of a Money Talk with David Sedaris, the acclaimed humorist who has always loved money. Now, finally, he has some. In the final essay of your latest book, Calypso, you discuss your father's frugality and how it's a source of tension. At the same time, you're spending a lot. Is that an act of rebellion? I guess. I just feel like I am. I'm rich. I'm rich, and I absolutely love being rich. Love it. I love buying things. And I don't just buy things for myself. I buy things for other people as well. But it's just crazy that I can become rich just by being myself. You've also recently written about your North Carolina beach house, the C-section. Is this your favorite purchase in recent memory? I got it so my family would have a place at the beach. We all get together there. I have brothers and sisters in North Carolina. They can just go there on their own. But the thing is, my boyfriend, Hugh, he loves it, and I just don't get it. He'd be happy to move there full time. How could you live at the beach full time? It's all I can do, really, to stay there for 10 days. I'm so ready to leave. I'm glad he likes it, but if I'd known he'd liked it that much, I wouldn't have bought the house. Do you ever look back and think you've wasted money? Not so much. I give things away. I bought a pair of black sequin culottes. Did I say I'm 61? I bought them somewhere in Tokyo, but I already found somebody to give them to who can't possibly afford them and would actually wear them all the time. When I do a live show, I can't tell people how much money I get paid for a thing like that. I don't know if they could be happy for me. They'd just say, okay, you just lost me. Then you think, what did those culottes cost me? 20 seconds on stage? When I no longer can go on tour, then all this will shut down. But as long as I do this, there's no stopping me. And that, I believe, folks, is just about going to do it for us today. I don't really have time to start something new in the time available, so I will just hope to get together with you all again next week. But I hope that you will come in and listen next week to the next episode of Modern Maturity and that you have enjoyed this one. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And this programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long till next time. If you've got any comments or questions, do give us a call at 919-832-5138.